Jim O'Brien shows up and the Celtics let it fly. Plus, they pull off the biggest comeback in playoff history. But it's probably good that it ended there. It's the Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here of MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another Locked On Celtics podcast and saying thank you once again for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You listening to this podcast on a daily basis, giving it a good 5-star rating and a good written review, have made this the number one Boston Celtics podcast out there, and I'm very appreciative of that. BuiltBar.com is sponsoring the Locked On Celtics podcast. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and you can use the promo code Locked On at builtbar.com for $10 off your first purchase. You should do it. A lot of people have done it already. They all love it. It's a candy bar disguised as a protein bar, and it's much healthier than some of the other protein bars on the market. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first purchase. Today, I, along with redsarmy.com's Chuck McKinney and Mike Dine, continue our conversation into the early 2000s. Now, we're really diving deep. The early history stuff, we took a deep dive, but this is the stuff that now we are really invested in because this is the stuff that we've seen firsthand. So we're really nitty-gritty taking a lot deep dives into the 2000s here. At this point of the conversation, Rick Pitino is gone. Paul Pierce has survived his stabbing, and now he is ascending to stardom, superstardom. And the Celtics are kind of thriving a little bit under Jim O'Brien. Jim O'Brien comes in and changes things from the Rick Pitino days, and things change a little bit for Antoine Walker for sure. We'll get into that. We'll get into the comeback. We'll get into some wild trades, still a lot of moves being made here as we continue our discussions of the 2000s here with RedsArmy.com's Chuck McKinney and Mike Dinan. So Pierce is in this final Pitino season, averaging 25.3 points. My favorite thing here about this season, so Pitino quits in January, and Jim O'Brien takes over. We talked a little bit about Jim O'Brien. Jim O'Brien was a let it fly, guys. Go ahead and, you know, we're letting it go. And Antoine Walker's like, you don't have to tell me twice. So in 15 games in November of that season, Pitino's still a coach. Antoine Walker takes 75 three-pointers. In 15 games in December, he takes 93 three-pointers. Okay. Now, January, Pitino quits and Jim O'Brien comes in for parts of January, February, and March. 101, 107, 138 three-point attempts. By March, he was taking basically almost twice as many three-pointers per game than he was in November. Let it fly, Jim O'Brien.
Jim O'Brien was Pitino's assistant for years and years. And I think he saw everything that Pitino did wrong in Boston and tried to do the opposite, like a George Costanza, you know. And that style of play, John, you were right. The Celtics led the league in three-point attempts for a couple of years under O'Brien. So he was like, you know, he was forecasting what the future was going to be of the NBA.
I mean, that's really all they had when you think about it. I mean, why not take the threes? I mean, what did they have inside? There was really no presence there. You know, Antoine did go overboard. He was taking, you know, three more threes a game than Paul was, and Paul was much more efficient. And I think with Antoine, for me, it was always and it's funny because he did shoot 36% that year, so that's pretty damn good. But I just do remember him being a bit erratic. When he missed, he missed. He didn't have many good misses. I don't recall. He has such a well-rounded game, though, and I think he always thought if he just missed kind of honing it. He had some skills. The Celtics lacked, you know, the interior presence. And you saw Twan, you thought he could give them some of that. He wasn't a gifted leaper, so he would have trouble going up against bigger centers. But he did have moments where you thought he had a little bit, you know, he had some craftiness inside. But man, he just fell in love with that 3-point shot. And from Pitino to Jim O'Brien, it was embraced. And then once they gave him the green light, I mean, can you blame him? Why would you go down in the paint and bang when your coach is encouraging you to just come up on the perimeter? But I always felt like he could have shifted it a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I thought he was a well-rounded player.
He had all the tools.
In that,
good.
I'm sorry. In that season, that 01-02 season, Chuck, what you were talking about, Antoine took 8 threes a game, and Pierce took 6 threes a game. But Pierce was much more effective because he got to the line twice as often as Antoine did. Now, as we talked about previously, Antoine was not good at the line, so he wasn't looking to get there. That just fed into him wanting to shoot the threes. But Pierce, that was a big part of his game, was drawing fouls, getting to the line.
I just saw a thing.
And he took advantage of that year. The two of them together were the whole scoring offense.
I remember seeing recently someone tweeted out a stat that it was Antoine Walker is second all time in most games with 20 or more field goal attempts and zero free throw attempts.
Wow.
Number one is Klay Thompson, which kind of makes sense because he's kind of like just a catch and shoot guy. But Antoine had the ball in his hand. Like, he was tasked with creating his own offense. So for him to create and try to take those shots, it's not like he's being fed and playing off of Steph and, you know, KD and all those guys. He's like number one, number two option. And yeah, so he did not want to get to the line, that's for sure.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you're a guy that works out, protein is part of your life. Protein is part of the culture, and you're looking for good ways to get protein into your body as you work out. Now, you're maybe working out at home now. Maybe you're doing a lot of push-ups. Maybe you're on an app. Maybe you're doing whatever it is, but protein helps the body build muscle. A lot of guys use protein powders. I've done that. A lot of guys go through protein bars. I've done that. But I've had nothing quite like a Built Bar. Protein and energy with a Built Bar, with the taste of a Built Bar, is something I've never experienced. Those protein powders, you stir them into water or milk or something like that, you kind of choke them down. The other protein bars out there, they're either super dense or you need like a gallon of water to wash them down. That's whatever. Built Bar is like a candy bar, but it doesn't have all the extra crap. It's just 150 to 170 calories or so, and you're going to get 15 to 20 grams of protein depending on the bar that you choose. You're not going to get a lot of extra carbs. You're not going to get a lot of extra sugars. Let's do a comparison. A Built Bar chocolate coconut, the coconut chocolate Built Bar, 110 calories, 4 grams of fat, 5 grams of net carbs, 4 grams of sugar, 15 grams of protein, no nuts, 5 grams of fiber. So what are you getting in this? Great taste. Very little fat, very little carbs, very little sugar, but all the protein that you need. If you're going to go for something that's more protein, you got to go into something like a Quest bar that's 100 more calories, 6 more grams of fat. It's got nuts in it. It's got more carbs. It's just, you're not going to find the same things that you're finding in a Built Bar. I'm just going to tell you, before you even buy it, go to builtbar.com and look at the protein bar comparison. Grab one of the competitors and look at the label. Think about all of the calories that you're burning in your workouts. Think about what you're trying to get into your body. And this is a great way to do it. And it's delicious. Okay? You're just going to get like a candy bar type of thing. So go to builtbar.com. Check it out for yourself. You don't even have to buy anything, but I'm going to tell you when you get there, you will want to. So use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Check it out. Buy yourself a box. You're going to get $10 off your first order anyway, so might as well just go check it out, get yourself a box, and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Stock up. If you've had it, if you tried one, go ahead and stock up. Use this to get $10 off your first order. The promo code is LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off your first order. So that's the 2000-2001 season. Rick Pitino era ends, by the way. His final record was 102 and 146. He won 41% of his games. I just wanted to throw that out there. In that 2001-2002 season, the Celtics, prior to that, draft Joe Johnson, Kedrick Brown, and Joe Forte. Which, that draft class is just... They immediately, just because Rick Pitino's gone, the impetuous nature of the Boston Celtics does not go away. Chris Wallace comes in, is the new GM, and he selects Joe Johnson. He makes this draft, and then in February at the trade deadline, Joe Johnson's gone. Traded Randy Brown, Joe Johnson, Milt Palacio off to Phoenix for Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers. This is a win now move. The Boston Celtics trade the 10th overall pick in the draft for Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers. And they are attempting to make their run. This is the Celtics saying it's 2001, 2002. We're feeling it. Jim O'Brien's here. Pierce is having a good season at that point. He ends up averaging 26 points, basically 26, 7, and 3. Antoine Walker is having, aside from chucking 8 threes and his shooting, his efficiency is not great, but 22 points, 9 rebounds a game, 5 assists, a steal and a half. I mean, he's not nothing in this. He's basically... was he an all-star this season?
I mean, he and Pierce were both all-stars.
Right, and this is Pierce's first all-star season. So the Celtics have two all-stars, and they're going for it. And the Celtics in this season, they end up third in the East. So they give up on Joe Johnson, who turns out to have been really, really good. And they go for Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers. My lasting memory of Tony Delk is that I think he had the shortest torso of anybody I've ever seen play basketball.
That's a good one.
when he tucked his jersey into his shorts, the bottom of his numbers, I felt like were tucked into his shorts as well. That's my lasting memory of Tony Delk.
I mean, I remember being torn at the time. I think a lot of Celtics fans were, most of us were torn on this move. But it was exciting. Right? I mean, when you look at the Eastern Conference, and I just, you know, you try to put yourself in Chris Wallace's shoes at the time, you think the East is fairly open, granted, the Lakers were waiting for them in the West, right?
Yes.
So the West, you know, so but within the East, you think, okay, we could make some noise here with this team. We have two pieces. Let's add a couple more veteran guys to maybe. So I see the logic, but it was such a short-sighted play. And there were plenty of draft picks leading up to Joe Johnson who had fizzled, but so it's not like everyone knew that Joe was destined for greatness. So and it's funny, as I talk myself through it now, I still feel like I'm torn on, you know, whether it was the right move at the time. I mean, we were all starved. We just went through the horror that, you know, of Paul Pierce getting stabbed and the Patino regime. So we were really starved for some success. So, you know, Wallace rolled the dice and went for it.
I think you could have felt better about it as they won in the playoffs. You know, you felt they won two playoff rounds. Not only did they make the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, but they won two playoff rounds, and I felt good about that. Obviously, you know, you finally had something to be happy about, and you had some hope that maybe they could get back to the finals. And as far as being happy with the trade itself, I never was worried that Joe Johnson became an all-star, because I always felt like if he had stayed with the Celtics, maybe that wouldn't have let Pierce develop like he did. I don't know. Maybe that's short-sighted, but
that's fair.
You know, I mean, you can't have too much of a good thing usually, but I just felt like they didn't need Joe Johnson long term. Maybe they shouldn't even have drafted him, because they already had Pierce, and I think they probably didn't miss him from that regard once they traded Joe Johnson.
Right. I mean, that's you can certainly make that case. I mean, he was just a rookie, so we had no idea what he would become. He was playing, and he was playing like 21 minutes, but you know, he wasn't doing a ton. He was only averaging 6 points a game. He wasn't shooting particularly well. He was okay, like whatever. He was a rookie. So, but the Celtics at that point, you know, you're struggling with, you know, you need some depth. They needed somebody that could help support some of what Pierce and Walker were doing. Because you look at the stats on this, there's only three guys who averaged double digits. So Pierce and Walker averaged, like I said, 26 and 22. And then Rodney Rogers came in 27 games and averaged about 11 points a game. And Tony Delk would come in, I remember, would be kind of a threat from three and hit a couple of threes per game. And they needed some support around those two all-stars that they had. So, and again, like I said, they were going for it. And I think Chris Wallace might have felt like, look, it's 2001, 2002 when he makes this trade. The Celtics haven't won anything since 1986. Here's like this opportunity. They end up winning 49 games. They're almost a 50-win team. They thought that they could make this move. So they did it, and now this is a kind of momentous postseason, because they get through Philly, they get through Detroit, and they do it. They beat Philly 3-2. It's a 5-game first round, so they win that in five. They breeze through the Pistons. They beat the Pistons 4-1. In that series. That was a little unexpected, because the Pistons were the two seed, and that was, you know, they had Stackhouse, they had Wallace, they had did they have Rasheed Wallace, Clifford Robinson, Jerry Stackhouse, Ben Wallace, That wasn't a bad Pistons team. They were the 2 seed, and the Celtics beat them 4-1. So now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Anything from those first 2 rounds stand out to either of you guys in your memory?
Yeah, I remember one game against the Pistons. It was the worst playoff game I've ever seen. The final score was 66-64. The Celtics won at home. That gave them a 2-1 lead in the series. But what I remember distinctly was sitting here thinking, this is the worst game I've ever seen. It's going to be a joke, whoever wins. But that is all that matters, is who wins. I don't care what the score is going to end up being. It's just who wins. It's the playoffs. One game stands alone. You got to win it. Every time you got to play, you got to win. And that was the main thing. But it was the ugliest game you could imagine.
My my lasting memory was Game 5 against Philly, because I was in the building. And and like Mike said, it was, you felt like they were back, right? The place was rocking. They won by like 30 something points. I'm just looking at the box score now. Pierce had 46. I just remember it being madness. And it just felt good that they were, you know, they felt relevant. The place was packed. They beat a rival. So you did have that sense of, you know, this is exciting. This is worth it, because we were, you know, we were starved for it. I mean, I'm sure that, yeah, they were going to churn out those 66, 64 games too. But, you know, in this one, this was pretty exciting. So it was back, and it was awesome. And, you know, so that's why, you know, I try to, for as much as I want to criticize Wallace, I can put myself in my seat at the Garden or the Fleet Center, whatever it was back then. And I just remember how exciting it was, that, and I can't fault them for it. So, and there was another, you know, I mean, I think there was one more exciting game in this playoff run that I think none of us will forget.
Why, yes, there was. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We're all looking for ways to learn new things and get ahead. One great way to do that is by reading. A lot of people have great advice. A lot of educated people have come up with plans, and you need some sort of kind of life hack, for lack of a better term, to get that, process it, and use it right away. You don't have a lot of time to sit there and read book after book after book, even in this quarantine, in this pandemic. Who has the time for that? That's why the Blinkist app is going to solve this problem for you. Blinkist is this unique app that works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser, and it takes the key takeaways, all the need-to-know information from thousands of non-fiction books, and it condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. That's the important part, because you can just listen to them. Successful people, the most successful business leaders, coaches in the league, all read a lot of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people like them and for you. Blinkist takes the main points of a book so you can process it quickly, start using that information right away. And with that audio feature I was talking about, it makes it easy to finish a book during a commute, a drive to see your parents, a drive to just get out of the house, a lunch break if you're working, a workout. You can use it all during that time. In fact, with Blinkist boiling down things to just 15 minutes, you can queue them up and listen to 2 or 3 while you're working out. You queue up a 45-minute workout, if you're ambitious, and put the Blinkist app on your headphones, and you can get the key takeaways from 3 different books all during your workout. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library, from self-help to business to health to history books. It also has the latest titles from bestseller lists and classic nonfiction titles that you always wanted to read and never had time to. I use Blinkist because I was just on a big road trip and I lined up a bunch of Blinkist books so I could listen to them in the same amount of time that most people would listen to like one or two books on tape. So go to Blinkist and get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for the Locked On Celtics audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. The Boston Celtics advance to the Eastern Conference Finals against the New Jersey Nets, who were the top seed and led by Jason Kidd. And so the Boston Celtics they lose game one, then they take game two. In game three, the Boston Celtics fall behind by 26 points in the third quarter. And I personally remember saying, fuck this, and turning it off.
And you never turned it back on?
I did turn it back on because I couldn't not, like, I just got so mad that I turned the game off. And by the time I turned it back on, the fourth quarter had started. In the fourth quarter, the Boston Celtics outscored the New Jersey Nets 41-16 and had, I think at that point, it might have been the greatest comeback in the playoff history, or right now I think it's fourth overall.
But yeah.
The Celtics, Paul Pierce outscored the entire Nets team 19-16. And obviously, like I said, the Celtics scored 41 in that. Pierce finishes with 28 points in 45 minutes. The Celtics go up 2-1 over the top seeded Nets. And all of a sudden, we're feeling good. The Lakers, this is Celtics-Lakers. It's setting itself back up. All of a sudden, we're allowed to feel ourselves like, oh my God, this could be Celtics-Lakers again. Like, all out of nowhere, Rick Pitino's gone. These guys are fun. Holy shit. So let's bask in the glory of this comeback, which, like I said, I missed a little bit of it.
If you look at the shot chart for Pierce in the fourth quarter of that game, it's just green dots at the hoop. Every shot that he took in that quarter was at the basket. He drove to the hoop every time he had the ball. And I checked the box score. He had 6 of 7 from the field and 7 of 9 free throws in that quarter. And it was, at the time, the biggest comeback ever. And not only that, they won. It didn't even come down to the last shot because they closed the game on a 10-0 run and won by 4 points. So they just were able to dribble out the clock. I was hysterical. I was losing my shit watching that game, end of that game.
Yeah, I remember being at a friend's house and taking shit from friends who weren't diehard Celtics fans as the lead was, you know, in the 20s, and then just having some beverages and then just watching the comeback and, you know, just seeing Pierce lead the way, and it was just further cementing his sort of reputation as a franchise cornerstone player and the Garden being going crazy. And this was this was an intense series, right? We had villains in this series. Nobody liked Jason Kidd. And the fans were pretty tough on him. Kenyon Martin was never liked by anybody. I don't even think by his own teammates. So the Nets had two of the least likable guys. So we could channel our anger towards them. And then, you know, this game was just, well, that was a fun series. I mean, the games after this weren't, you know, too many of them didn't go our way, but you're right. There was this moment, but I do remember thinking, oh, what would a finals, what would a finals against the Lakers look like? But at that point, you're just like, well, I'll just be happy to be there. Just a wild game.
Well, you said not much went Boston's way after that. Nothing went Boston's way after that. The Celtics lose game 4, game 5, game 6, 3 games in a row.
Whoops.
Those ended up being, by the way, the last 3 games the Nets would win that season because the Lakers swept them. So if you're wondering how a series against the Lakers would have gone, maybe it's better that the Celtics didn't make it to the finals, because that's the last thing the Celtics would want on their history books and their resume, a sweep at the hands of the Lakers. Personally, I'd rather lose the way the Celtics lose. Like, I'd rather see them lose like that than go to the finals and lose to the Lakers like that and get swept. Like, that would have been much more devastating. I think as a Celtics fan, that would have been like, God, I still, that would be something that would be thrown back at the Celtics from Lakers fans forever.
Yeah. No question.
In most cases, you'll take the trip to the finals, right? But you're 100% right in that, you know, I could just see Shaq would have just destroyed this team. It would have been. So that was the best case scenario.
We still have the good feeling about the comeback. And all that happened in that game, you know, it didn't get diminished by the Celtics ended up losing the series. Kind of like Jordan scoring 63, but who won the game? You know, nobody remembers who won the game. So the Celtics had this great comeback, and we were able to enjoy it and appreciate it, and we still revel in that. And, oh, yeah, they lost the series, so okay. It could have been worse.
It's true.
Chuck, are you saying that Tony Batty could not have guarded prime Shaquille O'Neal?
I'm going to go out on a limb and make that statement. Yes.
They got Rodney Rogers just so he could go out there and guard Shaquille O'Neal. Would you want a sweep at the hands of the Lakers on the Celtics resume? I wouldn't. So I'm glad that the Nets went off and did that. The Celtics got their big comeback. They have their signature moment, and the Nets go off and are fodder for the Lakers. That's fine with me. Moving on, tomorrow, the Celtics now progress into the next phase of their progression here. Wick Grosbeck, the next ownership group, starts to come in. Danny Ainge comes in. The Celtics are now taking these steps. This is the end of the worst of the worst. The Boston Celtics are now moving out of their massive drought. A drought that I think most teams would actually kill for the championship, then whatever, you know, a little bit of a drought and then a championship. But for the Celtics, this is new. It's uncharted territory. Danny Ainge now comes in. And the early Danny Ainge days are interesting. They are, you know, we have the benefit of retrospect, a little hindsight. But in the early days, it's like, what are we doing? What is all of this? There's not the universal, hey, Danny, we trust. That feeling is not there right away. Now, he has earned that. Now we're in 2020, but at the beginning in 2003, not so much. We're going to be discussing that as we move forward. So please subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't, if this is your first entry into the Lockdown Celtics podcast, please go back, subscribe, because we have been doing this from the beginning of the shutdown the deep dive starts at the beginning of Boston Celtics history. We are recapping the entire history of the Boston Celtics franchise. So we're up to this point, and we're going to keep on going until 2020. And so subscribe if you haven't. If you have, a 5-star rating and a good written review. I said it at the beginning of the podcast. I say it a lot. The Lockdown Celtics podcast is the number one rated Celtics podcast in the world because you have taken the time to rate and review. If you're one of the new listeners who hasn't, would really appreciate you doing that. Would also really appreciate you going to BuiltBar.com and using the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase. Built Bar is really the best tasting protein bar on the market right now. It's delicious. It's low in calories. It's high in protein and low in the extra carbs, the extra sugars. It's delicious. It's going to get you what you need without all the extra crap. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase. Now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan.